Okay, it says this. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They're trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Before we break down these verses, we got to remember why Solomon is even writing the book of Proverbs in the first place. His goal isn't simply to fill our minds with information. His goal is to transform the way that we live. Remember, it's not information, it's formation. God wants to form you. And one of the greatest ways that we're formed is by the voices that we choose to listen to. Let me say that again. One of the greatest ways that we are formed is by the voices that we choose to listen to. Because every voice is trying to shape you into someone. Every voice is trying to influence your decisions. Every voice is trying to pull your life in a particular direction. And that's why Solomon doesn't begin Proverbs by talking about money or work or relationships. He begins by asking a much deeper question. Whose voice are you going to trust? Let's look at verse 8 again. It says this. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. The very first word that is emphasized is the word listen. Can everyone say listen? And the Hebrew word used here is shema. And it means so much more than simply just hearing words. It actually carries the idea of hearing with the intention of responding. So in other words, Solomon isn't saying, son, make sure these words reach your ears. He's not just saying that. He's saying, let these words have enough authority that they shape the way that you live your life. Because hearing without action is meaningless. Then Solomon points to a father and a mother. Now, this isn't because parents are perfect. If you've had parents for more than 5 minutes, you know that's not the case. Can I get an amen? Parents are great, though. We love them. The point is that God often places wise voices in our lives long before we realize how much we need them. People who can see the dangers that we can't. People who've already walked the roads we haven't. People who love us enough to tell us the truth, even when it's not something that we want to hear. Sometimes that voice says, slow down. Don't make that decision. That's not the crowd that you need to be hanging around. And if we're honest, they oftentimes sound limiting. They sound inconvenient. They sound like they're standing between us and the life that we think that we want. But Solomon says that we've got it all backwards. Bring your attention to verse 9. It says this, what you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Now, in Solomon's day, a garland and a chain, they weren't symbols of restriction. They were symbols of honor. They represented dignity. They represented a life that was well respected. So Solomon's painting a picture for us. He's saying that when you listen to wisdom, wisdom begins to shape the kind of person that you'll become. It changes your character. It changes your decisions. It changes your reputation. So in other words, wisdom doesn't take something away from your life. It adds something to it. It adds honor where foolishness brings regret. It adds character where compromise often leaves scars. It adds dignity where sin always promises more than it can deliver. And isn't that the exact opposite of what we often believe? We think that wisdom's actually going to hold us back. We think obedience is going to make us miss out. We think saying no today means we'll lose something tomorrow. But Solomon says we've got it all backwards. The voice of wisdom isn't trying to rob you of life. It's trying to give it back to you. It's trying to prepare you for the life that God wants you to have. And church, that's exactly what I failed to see in my own story. When my friends warned me about the crowd I was hanging around, I thought they were trying to keep me from becoming someone. I thought they were trying to keep me from becoming popular. But looking back, they were trying to keep me from becoming someone I never wanted to be. I never wanted to be someone who acts like a drug dealer. I never dreamt of that. I didn't. That's what the voice of wisdom does. It doesn't just tell you what to do. It protects the person God is shaping you to become. Which is why it's so important that we recognize who those voices are in our lives and do everything in our power to keep them as close as possible. For you, maybe that person is a trusted friend. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a sibling, or maybe it's a mentor or a relative or a boss. I don't know who it is. But make sure to keep that person close. But then the question arises, how do I know if someone is actually a voice of wisdom in my life? How do I know that? How do I know if their voice is leading me towards God or pulling me away from God? James helps us with that. James chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without pretense." So in other words, James gives us a filter. A voice of wisdom doesn't produce confusion, it produces clarity. It doesn't push you into chaos, it leads you towards peace. It doesn't pressure you into compromise, it calls you into purity. It's gentle, it's not manipulative. It brings conviction, not control. So here's the simple way to think about it. When questioning whether someone is a godly voice in your life, think of if a voice in your life consistently leads you closer to God, then it's worth listening to. But if it consistently pulls you away from Him, then it's not wisdom, no matter how convincing it sounds. And church, that matters. That matters so, so much. Because not every voice that sounds right is actually leading you right. And not every voice that challenges you is trying to harm you. Some of the voices God uses in our lives are not there to make us comfortable. They're there to keep us aligned. Aligned with God. Aligned with His will. And church, the voices that we choose to listen to determine the destination of our lives. Do you want that destination to be with God or to be away with Him, away from Him? Now, Solomon actually shifts his focus to another voice, that second voice that we hear, that voice of temptation. Let's look at verse 10. It says this, "My child, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Notice Solomon doesn't say if temptation comes in your life. He says when it comes in your life. Because every single one of us will hear another voice. And the question isn't whether temptation will speak to you. The question is whether you'll listen. Will you listen to temptation when it shows up? And we see the word entice, and that word entice literally means to persuade or to lure or to seduce. It's predatorial in nature. Temptation is predatorial. In other words, temptation never shows up looking like temptation. It shows up looking like an opportunity. Or maybe it'll show up looking like acceptance, like success, like happiness, like freedom, like something that you've always wanted. And a while back, I was looking for a Pomeranian online, okay? I wanted to get a new puppy, and guess where I found a puppy? Craigslist. That's a safe place to look, right? Nope. It's not. But I was searching on Craigslist, and I found a puppy that I really wanted. I mean, it looked exactly like the most beautiful dog you could ever imagine. And so I started texting the seller, okay? And I texted him, I'd love to come pick up the puppy today. How much? And he said, $300. So I negotiated a little bit. You know, I like to negotiate for fun. And we agreed upon a price, but instead of giving me an address, he just kept saying, sir, before you come, I need you to send me a $200 deposit to reserve the dog for you, you know, just so no one else will get it. Immediately something didn't feel right because I told the guy I'll be there in 15 minutes. No one's coming in 15 minutes, dude. But he said, no, I won't give you the address unless you send me the $250. I said, dude, I'll bring the money when I come. I will be there ASAP. But he wouldn't budge. And he kept insisting that I send the money first. So finally I said, sir, I feel like you're trying to scam me. I called him out. And you want to know what happened? This has never happened to me before, okay? The scammer FaceTimed me. The scammer FaceTimed me. Have you ever heard of that before? No. Well, I answered, and he was screaming at me for $250 as a deposit. And finally I said, sir, I'm sorry, but I just don't think it's real. And the moment he realized I wasn't buying the story, everything changed. He started cursing me out in another language. Then he hung up on me. So I thought it'd be funny to try to call him back. But he blocked me. Isn't that interesting? As long as he thought I was believing in the lie, he was patient, he was nice to me, he was polite, he was convincing. But the moment the deception stopped working, his true intentions came out. Church, deception only works when it hides its true intentions. And that's exactly how temptation works. If temptation introduced itself honestly, none of us would ever say yes. Imagine if temptation came knocking at your front door and said, hi, I'd love to destroy your marriage today. I'd love to rob you of your peace. How does that sound? Oh, how about I fill your life with shame? How about I damage your witness, make no one trust you? How about I pull you farther away from God than you've ever been? Can I come in? What would you guys say? No, right? Nobody would invite that inside. So temptation never introduces itself in that way. Instead, it says, you deserve this. Nobody will ever know. Hey, it's only one time. Everyone else is doing it. You're missing out. What's the big deal? Church, sin never knocks wearing its real name. It tries to scam you, offering you something that you want. Listen, the very first words that temptation speaks in Proverbs, and verse 11 says, come with us. Three words, come with us. That's it. Not come ruin your life. Not come destroy your marriage. Not come get addicted. Not come live with regret. Just come with us. Because that's all temptation needs. Just one step. Just one compromise. Just one conversation. Just one click. One lie. One relationship. One decision. It never asks you to ruin your life overnight. It simply asks you to take the next step. And church, that's exactly what happened to me. Henry never looked at me and said, Kyle, come spend 2 hours getting interrogated and tapped down by cops. No. He never said, come disappoint your parents. Come ruin your reputation. Come spend years wishing you made a different decision. He simply said, come with us. And church, I did. And that's exactly what Solomon's showing us. Listen to what these sinners promise. Listen to verses 13 through 14. It says this. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff that we can take. Come throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. Do you notice what they never mention? They never mention prison. They never mention guilt. They never mention broken families. They never mention regret. They never mention standing before a holy God and being held accountable. They only talk about what you'll gain. Why? Because temptation always advertises the reward, but then hides the cost. Let me say that again. Temptation always advertises the reward, but then hides the cost. It shows you the pleasure, but conceals the price. It sells you the bait, but then hides the hook. And before we get too comfortable, let's remember, most of us aren't being tempted to rob people on the side of the road, just like in this Proverbs. But the voice sounds exactly the same. It says, come with us. Come gossip. Come compromise. Come look at that website. Come cheat just this once. Come exaggerate the truth. Come hold on to bitterness. Come get revenge. Come chase money at the expense of your family. Come put your career above your marriage. That's what temptation does. Come make this one decision, and you can deal with the consequences later. The temptation will change, but the voice never does. It will still whisper, come with us. That's what temptation does. And I want to point something out to you. If we're looking at these two voices that are competing for us, the voice that brings us life and then the voice that tempts us, the voice that brings us life starts by saying, listen, my son. But then the voice of temptation says, come with us. Do you see the difference? Wisdom says slow down, while temptation says hurry. Wisdom says think about where this road will lead you. But temptation says, why don't you just live in the moment? Wisdom says trust God, but temptation says to trust yourself. Every temptation is really asking you one question. Who are you going to trust? And church, here's the problem. Here is the true problem. The voice of temptation never tells you where it's taking you. It only tells you what you'll gain if you follow. But then it's a scam. It's a lie. It offers you something that it can't give you, which raises a question. Where does the road that I'm on actually end? And that's exactly where Solomon's going to take us next. He says, before you take your first step, look at where the road ends. Know where you're going. Know the destination. And church, that's one of the most loving things that God does for us. He shows us the end of the road before we even take the first step. Because temptation never shows you the destination, but wisdom always will. Let's look at verse 15. It says this. My child, do not go along with them. Keep your feet off their path. In other words, Solomon isn't just saying, be careful. He's saying, don't even start walking in that direction. Because there are some places that you don't accidentally end up. You arrive there one small step at a time. One compromise at a time. One ignored voice of wisdom at a time. And then Solomon pulls back the curtain. Verse 18. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. Now that's heavy language, right? That's really heavy. He's saying the very thing they thought would bring them life is actually taking it from them. And verse 19 gives us the epic conclusion. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Church, I want you to listen very, very carefully. Solomon's not trying to scare us. He's trying to save us. Because every voice you listen to is not just giving you advice, it's shaping your direction. And your direction will eventually become your destination. And that's why Jesus puts it even more clear in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. He says that. Notice what Jesus does not say. He doesn't say, my sheep know my voice and they just admire it, but they don't follow it. He says, they listen and they follow. They follow Jesus. Because at the end of the day, every one of us is following a voice. The only question you have to ask yourself is, which one am I following? What am I following? Am I following the voice of culture that says, do what feels right? Am I following the voice of fear that says, protect yourself at all costs? Or how about the voice of approval that says, be who people want you to be? Or maybe the voice of temptation that says, come with us. Or the voice of Jesus that says, follow me. And here's the tension. We all are surrounded by those voices every day, but the problem is that those voices don't always sound dramatically different in the moment when we're hearing them. Sometimes they're subtle, sometimes they're quiet, sometimes they're repeated so often that they start to feel normal. But only one voice will lead you to life. So let me bring this home. Every voice is taking you somewhere. The only question is whether you like the destination. And throughout this passage, Solomon is pulling back the curtain so we can see where these roads end before we ever take the first step. And that's one of the greatest acts of love from God. He shows us the destination before we choose the path. So let me ask you, if you could see where the voices you're listening today will lead you tomorrow, then would you still follow them? Would you? If you could see the end of the road before taking the next step, would you choose a different path? You have to ask yourself that. And Proverbs is not just trying to give you better habits. It's trying to give you a better life. A life that doesn't end in regret. A life that doesn't wake up years later asking, how did I get here? A life that actually reflects the wisdom and the goodness of God. And church, I wish I could tell you that I've always gone this right. If you've heard any of my sermons, I make myself sound like an idiot, and that's because sometimes I am. Okay? There are moments where I've listened to the wrong voices. Moments I've justified what I already knew wasn't wise. Moments where I heard the truth clearly, and I still chose something else. And what I found is this. The wrong voice always feels easier in the moment, but then it always costs more at the end. But here's the hope of the gospel. God doesn't just correct our direction. He restores our lives. Even when we follow the wrong voices for years, Jesus doesn't just say, try harder, do everything in your power to come back to me. He says, come back to me. I will bring you here. Because he's not just a voice among many. He is the shepherd who leads our lives. So church, as we close, I want to ask you plainly, and communion team, you can come on up. What voice has your attention right now? What voice has your imagination right now? What voice is shaping your decisions right now? The decisions that you make when no one's watching. What voice is the loudest when you're trying to decide what is right? And maybe more importantly, what would it look like this week to intentionally turn down every other voice of temptation and turn up the voice of Jesus? Not perfectly, not flawlessly, but intentionally. Worship team, you can come on up. Let's bow our heads and pray. And then I want you to spend 2 minutes, just 2 minutes, reflecting on the voices in your life. And then I want you to determine what is the most prominent one that you follow. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord, that we can honestly assess all of the different voices that are shaping who we are, Lord. If we've been far from you, if we've been following voices of temptation, voices that are trying to lead us astray, God, I pray that we come back to you and that we lay everything at your feet, Lord. That we can follow you, that we can seek out your wisdom, that you can be the most prominent voice in our lives. It's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.